former governor of South Carolina, ambassador to the UN, Republican presidential candidate. Good morning, Governor. Thanks for being in our studios.
Jack, it's great to be back in New Hampshire. We are excited, and I will tell you this. I will never complain about it being cold in New Hampshire again. After negative 40 wind chill in Iowa, it actually feels warm here in New Hampshire, but we're thrilled to be back. We're super excited. It's go time.
You're like one of these NFL teams. I don't know how much you got on the plane and sleep, but early start after Iowa. Governor, before we talk about New Hampshire, what kind of went on there? I mean, you know, weather might have played a fact, must have played a factor in who got out.
I mean, look, I think, you know, first of all, we got here last night. We came immediately. We're working off of an hour's sleep, but we're super excited. I was happy with what happened in Iowa. Look, that is a very pro-Trump state. You know, it's not New Hampshire. It's a very pro-Trump state. And he got 50%, but we were really happy to come in. We wanted to be strong in Iowa. We want to be even stronger in New Hampshire, and we want to get stronger than that in South Carolina. That's always been our goal. So now we're ready to come to New Hampshire and do our thing here. We've already done well over 75 town halls here over the last 11 months, shaking every hand, answering every question, being the last person to leave. And we're going to put it all out on the table and try and earn every Granite Stater's vote.
So kind of about what you expected, different. Do you think the weather did keep some affect the caucus scores? I mean, you come out of there, I guess, DeSantis, second, you're right next to DeSantis. So kind of, you know, Trump was the story, if you will, but we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, Iowans are tough. And, you know, you got to hand it to them. They came out in that frigid weather. I think that there were certain groups that were compromised, seniors or anyone that, you know, may have had asthma and some other things. They didn't come out. So I'm sure the turnout was not as big as what we would have hoped. But, you know, I think Iowans were very good to us, and I appreciated the hospitality. We learned a lot. But now we head over to New Hampshire, and that's in the rearview mirror, and New Hampshire is what I'm looking at.
I believe there's a debate scheduled between now and this next Tuesday in New Hampshire. At St. Anselm College, Institute of Politics. I think it's an ABC local affiliate, WMUR, my alma mater. And you're obviously one of the hot commodities, Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump. Have you committed to that debate yet?
Is Donald Trump going to be there?
As far as I know right now, I think that's as good a guess as anyone. My guess is he hasn't debated to this point. Why start now?
I mean, listen, I've done five debates. We've had great showings in all five debates. Right now, I'm a stone's throw away from him. If you look at the polls, DeSantis is single digits. That's not what I'm interested in. I want Trump on that stage. If Trump gets on that stage, there's no question about me being up there. But until he gets on that stage, he can't hide forever. And at some point, he needs to go and fight for the support of people in New Hampshire. I've debated Ron five times. I don't need to debate him again. Yeah. I'm going after the front runner.
I think it's fair to say you haven't avoided any debates, but the media is listening. So the question they're going to want to know is, will you debate if Trump does not?
I want Trump. I want Trump on that stage. If Trump gets on that stage, I'm on that stage. But this is a two-person race in New Hampshire. You can look at it. Look at the last poll that came out. It is a two-person race. Why would I debate anybody else than the person that I'm trying to defeat?
Is it fair to say if the former president does not, you probably won't?
If Trump's on that stage, I'm on that stage. Who am I going to debate? I'm not going to debate people in single digits. I want to debate the person that I'm 7 points away from beating.
Let's talk about next Tuesday. I've talked to some great experts, BJ Perry, a buddy of mine, Neil Levesque, at the college, and some other folks.
Yeah.
People have been looking at this, and we're all trying to figure out something. How many people are going to vote next Tuesday? I think some of the models I'm looking at, because, you know, the Democrats, not a big race there. They're ignoring New Hampshire. It might be 260,000 voters next Tuesday or more. If it's anything over 260,000, my experience in this state in these primaries is, you can't predict what's going to happen next Tuesday, because that means a lot of independents, a lot of undeclareds are going to vote. Because if you look at the Republican primaries, that's a big number. So the question is, what's your path between now and next Tuesday? How do you close the apparent gap in the national and local polls with Trump? How do you do it here in a real primary state, no disrespect to Iowa, in basically a week's time, if it's going to be that many votes? What's your path to victory in New Hampshire? And are you still feeling optimistic that you can send a surprise to the nation next Tuesday?
Well, first of all, I think you're going to have a great turnout, not because it's the weather, but because 70% of Americans don't want to see a rematch between Biden and Trump. They both have unfavorables. People have said over and over again, this is not what they want. We don't need to have a choice, with all due respect, with two more 80-year-olds. That's not where we need to go. We've got serious issues. We need a new generational leader that's going to lead our country into a place where we're talking about solutions. Both of these fellas are sitting there dealing with investigations and talking about the past. That is not where Americans are. Americans want to know how we're going to get the economy back on track and get inflation down. They want to know how we're going to get our kids reading again and make sure we have, you know, transparency in the classroom. They want to secure our border. No more excuses. They want law and order back in our country. They want to deal with fentanyl and mental health and get those things under control. And they don't want to go to war. They want to prevent war. And they want to know how people are going to do that. But what are you saying? Both these guys are talking about things that are not that. They don't have a clear vision of where we're going to go forward. I do. I'm an accountant. I know what it takes to get our debt down. You don't have to spend trillions of dollars. And that's what Biden and Trump did. They spent trillions of dollars putting us in debt. And our kids will never forgive them for that.
Listen to Governor, former Governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, Republican presidential candidate. We sit at 9:15 Eastern Time, January 16th, 1 week from today, the first in the nation presidential primary. Ironically, a lot of people didn't know the significance of next Tuesday months ago when the DNC and Joe Biden decided to steal New Hampshire's primary. The little problem they had on the way to that was the Secretary of State sets the primary, not the DNC. Let's go back to Nikki Haley live. Good morning, New Hampshire, the pulse of an edge. Governor, I have seen a thing or two. I'm like that insurance commercial over time in terms of primaries here. National media moves in pretty much now after Iowa and before, you know, South Carolina, where you're from, and they think they kind of know what's going to happen. And that didn't really work when someone named George W. Bush was sitting in the downtown hotel in Manchester, the governor of Texas, and he saw John McCain come in and win New Hampshire rather big. Didn't happen when, you know, a few other races, they thought one thing and something else happened. So my question is momentum I've seen in the past. Who's got momentum? Because it seems to me that Donald Trump, like Neil Vex said, is a goalpost in the football state. He has a number. I don't know if that's momentum. It doesn't seem to move, but he has a number. If more than 250,000, 600,000 people are going to vote next week, momentum might be the key here of some of these people who may not be Trump voters. So how do you regain, or do you feel you have that momentum in the next several days, especially Wednesday through the weekend? How do you grab that lightning in a bottle momentum and carry it into Tuesday?
I think we've been anywhere and everywhere. We're going to continue to do that and make sure we get our message out there. You know, this, we didn't just show up here. We've been here for 11 months. We've got a lot of supporters. And what we're seeing is people are getting out and voting for the first time. We're seeing people come out of the woodwork saying that I'm going to vote in this election because they're tired. They don't want the chaos. They don't want the division. But more than that, they want some sanity again. I mean, I have said over and over again, I voted for Trump twice. I was proud to serve in his administration. But rightly or wrongly, chaos follows him. And we cannot be a country in disarray and have a world on fire and go through four more years of chaos. We won't survive it. And even more than that, we cannot have a President Kamala Harris. And if you look at every one of those general election polls, everyone, Trump is margin of error with Biden, maybe 2 points up on a good day. I totally slay Biden in a general election. Do you know what that means? That's bigger than the presidency. That's going into D.C. with a mandate to get this wasteful spending out of the way and start getting our economy back on track. That's a mandate to start getting education back to the basics and getting our kids back on track. That's a mandate to secure our border with no more excuses. That's a mandate for law and order in this country. And that's a mandate for a strong America that we can be proud of. That's what Americans want. That's what I believe the people of New Hampshire want. And that's what we're going to give them.
It seems to me sometimes, I always use the analogy of the Olympics presidential early contest, or like the Olympics, there's a medal round. And no doubt, regardless of what happens next Tuesday, you'll go on in that medal round and it will be down to South Carolina. That's where you're from, that you are governor of that state. Ron DeSantis appears to already maybe be looking beyond New Hampshire because he's in South Carolina today, this morning before New Hampshire after Iowa. Are you looking beyond New Hampshire? And then the next question is, if you can do well next Tuesday, some people say Trump has an edge down in South Carolina. He can run all the way to Super Tuesday and wrap up the nomination, even if he doesn't do as well this next Tuesday. Do you believe that?
Underestimate me. That's always fun. When we started, there were 14 people in the race, and I had 2% in the polls, and I heard all of these things. Now you're seeing we're second place in New Hampshire, we're second place in South Carolina, and we're gaining on him. So we're looking at New Hampshire, we're looking at South Carolina, and we're looking at going forward. We've been smart with how we run our campaign. We haven't had turnover. We've really spent our money wisely, and we're ready to go. And we're going to go and be a force throughout New Hampshire, talking to everybody, touching every person. You saw I got an hour sleep last night because there is no time to waste. We were already in the Red Arrow Diner this morning, talking to a bunch of people, and we're going to head up to the North Country. So we're going to continue to touch everybody and make sure we do this. Americans want something different. They do. They just need to know it's possible. And what I will tell you is, don't complain about what happens in a general election if you don't play in this primary. Tuesday is the day where New Hampshire can definitely right the ship. And we're ready. The country is watching. And so now it's your turn to show them what New Hampshire's like and where we're going to go.
You may have answered my last question, Governor Haley. Thanks for the time this morning. I know not much sleep overnight, but you know you probably expected that. The question is, Chris Christie's out. Ramaswamy's out. He's already endorsed Trump. Christie has not endorsed anyone, to my knowledge. And then there, Ron DeSantis probably stays in, even though he's in South Carolina. So what do you say to some of these other non-Trump Republican likely voters? Why you?
Because I think that it's time that we get a new generational leader. And I think that it's time to stop with the chaos and the division and the hatred. Look, the reason I'm doing this, I don't want my kids to live like this. We can't sit there and have them worry about what's going to happen. They see this debt. They're worried they're going to have to pay it back. They're wondering how they're ever going to buy a home. The average home buyer now is 49 years old. The American dream's leaving them. They're wondering how they're going to get a job, what they're going to afford. And I don't want our kids to sit there and not see the American dream for what it is. I want to stop this national self-loathing that's happened in our country and get Americans invested in loving our country again. That's when we'll be strong. That's when we'll be proud. And that's when we'll do this. And I have always over-communicated in every job I have. I want to tell everybody, every American, what's facing us, how we're going to fix it, and how we're going to do it together. And I've been a two-term governor that took a double-digit unemployment state and turned it into an economic powerhouse. I also dealt with Russia, China, Iran every day at the United Nations. I've got executive and I've got foreign policy experience. Now, I think the one thing that we need to make sure we do is also put an accountant in the White House, and I'm that too. So let's go ahead and get it done.
You mean we can actually cut a $34 trillion deficit? I didn't know anything could be cut in Washington.
Can you imagine? I mean, you want to talk about anything. Donald Trump put us $8 trillion in debt in just 4 years. Everybody talks about what a good economy that was. But he totally ran up the credit card to do it. That's not how you fix an economy.
We're going to run 30-second one, not a debate. We'll see what happens Thursday night, if Donald Trump's going to debate or not. My suspicion is he won't, but you never know. You've been at this really a lot in New Hampshire. If you had to say, and you've done the governor, former ambassador, you went, what's the biggest personal surprise you've had in this running for president thus far? Is there anything that you just say to your family and friends, wow, I didn't expect that, or I did this, or this. Is there anything personal you take away at this point or not? You know,
I've loved the personalities of each state. In Iowa, they're very guarded. You know, they're hardworking, faithful people, very patriotic, but they're very guarded. You know, it's a tough nut to crack. You come to New Hampshire, and what I love is they wear their feelings on their sleeve. They tell you exactly what they think. They tell you exactly what they're going to do. There's great energy here in New Hampshire. So I really loved just seeing, you know, the different cultures of each state, listening to people, learning what they care about. You've got a great, I love that New Hampshire has a tremendous veteran community here, mm-hmm. because as a military spouse and a husband who's deployed.
Is he currently deployed, your husband, right now?
He is currently still deployed, yes.
Wow,
he
while you're running for president.
He's been gone 6 months, and I'll tell you this, Jack, it's important. When I dropped him off at 4 a.m., I watched him and 230 soldiers pick up their two duffel bags of belongings to go to a country they'd never been, all in the name of protecting America. If they're willing to sacrifice their lives for us, we should be willing to fight for America here.
I'm not trying to be like one of those national hosts who goes on the personal side, but I'm going to ask, has it been tough with him deployed and you running for president this schedule?
Absolutely. I mean, he's like my right arm. Yeah. We've always done it. We started dating when I was 17. We've been married for 26 years. We've never done anything apart, but I am so proud of him, and he's so proud of me. And yes, it's hard, but we both know we have a country to save. He's doing it his way with military service, and God bless him for it. And I'm doing it my way, trying to save our country, running for president.
Governor Nikki Haley in our studios, thanks for the time. Where are you off to?
We are off, I think, to the North Country.
And
Go to NikkiHaley.com and it'll tell you everywhere
well, I know
we're
you were
going.
At some diner this morning.
I was at Red Arrow Diner. I mean, I'm telling you, we are going to be anywhere and everywhere.
Are we going to see a lot of Governor Sununu with you this week?
Yes, he is. We are putting him to work, but he is so energized and ready to go. He's been fighting for us the whole time we were in
Iowa.
Get
him on a snow groomer or a skier. You know, he knows how to operate one. He actually does. He actually knows how to operate one of those big snow kits.